the dead, all kind of things. And then he died and he rose again on the third day. This is the what they had to teach. This is what we still have must teach right now. And we must teach you with infallible proof. I am teaching you today with infallible proof that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Christ. He's not in a grave someplace. In Jesus' name. You see, and they had to preach beyond a shadow of a doubt what they preached and know what they preached was real. What was already preached? You see, they had to preach what was already preached. And that was Jesus Christ himself. He preached his own funeral and resurrection. And he had to come back and say, now, I need you now to go and preach what's already been preached. But I gotta give you infallible proof to know that I am alive. You see, because after he died, when he was going that night, a lot of disciples, they ran away of fear. A lot of stuff was going on, and they had a lot of doubts was going on. This man they walked with for 3.5 years, and now he's gonna allow all them to come and take him and kill him. And they kind of like lost their confidence. And sometimes you see people going through some time and they're not what you thought they should be. You lose your confidence in them. You see, and it don't mean that they not who they said they were, but it's how we perceive them. And that's sad sometimes because people perceive people in a way how they think that person should have been, how they think that thing should have been. And this is what was going on in the disciples at the time of life. They were doing that. Now, he shouldn't have died. You know, he was the savior of the world. We believe the teaching he done, the miracle. He shouldn't have died like that. But he was telling them, I have to fulfill this assignment. And this assignment will not be filled until I die. Unless that seed drop in the ground, it will not shoot up. You see, I have to fulfill this. And other times, even in our life, we look at people like there ain't nothing there. But they have to fulfill the dying process that they can come alive and can heal many. You understand? You only can understand that once you went through it. And I know I might be talking foreign to some people right now, but we all have to go through a process when God wants to use us. You understand? And people don't understand and they may get twisted in their mind about you, but that's okay. They'll understand later on down the road what happened. He told Peter, oh, you're going to deny me and you're going to walk away. But when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. He knew he was going to come back. He knew what Peter was going on down. He knew stuff that's going on all down inside of him. But Peter, he loved Jesus. You understand? But he didn't understand what was going to come upon him. But Jesus knew. He said, I prayed for you. In the same way Jesus had prayed for us. No matter what we're going to do, Jesus don't pray for us. Okay. Let me continue on in my message here. They had to know. When they had to go before the council, that their faith had to stand in the infallible proof. They had to know that the experience they received at Pentecost was going to cost them something. But the price was paid by the blood of Jesus. And the receipt was given when he rose with all power in his hand and threw back the authority to them. And they received the infallible proof of his power that now dwelt in them and in us. What did the word say? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jesus knew that the power inside would flow as infallible proof on the outside. He knew that when we came to Jesus and that we loved him and really loved him right, no matter what we had to deal with, that infallible proof was going to keep on flowing on the outside. That's why you can see some people that can go through a lot of stuff and they just stand firm. Not saying they're not hurting, not saying they're not crying, not saying they're not going through stuff, but they're standing in the infallible proof of Almashiach. They're standing in the infallible proof of Jesus Christ and him crucified. They're standing in the point that I know that my Redeemer lived. And I know that he saved me. And this is not what happened in my life. This wasn't a man thing. I was all messed up. It was God that came and put me back together again. This wasn't a man thing. When he filled me with the Holy Spirit, I know something happened. This was not a man thing. I have infallible proof that Jesus Christ is alive and he's real. That's why I love him so much. Listen, when you know what you know, what you know, you just know it. People be trying to say, well, how do you know? How do you know this? Don't you worry about it. You got to experience this for yourself. That's why we got to make them hungry. You see, when the apostles came back and Jesus showed all these people, they got hungry. They knew it and knew it and knew it for themselves in Jesus' name. And when you are connected to the source, you just know it. And when it comes out of your belly, like rivers of living water, you just know it. Isn't that something? You know? And you know it was not by the hand of man, but it's by the infallible proof of Jesus. It was so important for Jesus to show himself alive, teaching his disciples what it got that he taught them, poured into them. You see, that's he don't leave you comfortless. Me and the pastor were talking this morning and said, see, we're going through stuff, but God is constantly pouring into us. He will not leave us comfortless. We got to listen, hear him. He will not leave us comfortless. I love him for that. You know, sometimes man won't talk to you, but God is always talking to you. And he's always encouraging. He will not leave you comfortless. I don't care where you are, where you go. You got to have that infallible proof that Jesus Christ lives down in you. And you know it, know it, know it, and can't be shaken. You see, that's that infallible proof that I want to get into your spirits today. You see, it was important for him to show himself alive, to teach his disciples, doing things that were not even recorded, saying things to them that was not even recorded, to seal the feast of the Passover once and for all, that he was a sacrificed lamb that was slain for all men, giving us them and us full confidence that he had paid the penalty for all men. And it was him, no more doubting, it was him. He placed in them so much confidence that they could not be shaken or moved in the midst of adversity. You see, when you really have infallible proof, and it's down in your spirit, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you will not be shaken. Things will still not move you. I'm not saying it's times that we go through life, and sometimes we stop praying like we should, and stop being in God like we should. Those things happen to every Christian. You go through a time that it seems like you just, you know, slow motion, but the thing about it, that infallible proof will keep bringing you back alive. That infallible proof will keep urging you on into your destiny. That infallible proof will tell you, okay, make you feel not convicted, but you start feeling, you know, that, okay, I have not prayed in a while. I'm not reading God's word like I should, and I feel like I'm slacking off here. See, that's what that infallible proof would do. The word of God said, when he coming in you and feed with the Holy Spirit, he said he will lead and guide you into all truth. He'll be your conscience for you. That's an infallible proof I'm talking about today. This is the proof that the church needs to have down in them. Too many people are going haywire and do what they want to do and talking to Jesus. The devil is a liar. You're not going to talk about this is okay when in the infallible proof to lay down his life for us and tell me it's okay to have dancing in the church and have people up there speaking they should not be speaking and people wearing all kind of stuff and desecrating the altar of God up there. Now listen, you come to church when you want to come to church. You know, all people are welcome. But when you are up there, and this is my pet peeve, and I'm telling you, if I know me, this is how I am. When you are up there doing any service, whether it's worshiping, whether it's leading the service, whether it's ministering the word of God, you should not go up there with your flesh showing. And if you know the infallible proof is down in you, guess what? You will say, why do I have to wear this shirt, short dress? Why do I have to show my legs? Why is my stuff all tied up in here? Man, why is my pants so tight? Come on, you got the infallible proof down in you. It will convict you. Why you got to pull this attention to yourself? You understand me? I'm talking about this infallible proof that we need, you see, that we stand before his presence. And how are you going to bring a person into the presence of God and all this flesh is showing up? They don't work together. But see, when as you grow in the Father, and it's time we have in our life, but when you start growing in the Father and wanting to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God, am I all right in you? He will let you know. In Jesus' name. I'm going to leave it at alone right now. But I just wanted to touch on that because a lot of people think it's okay and it's not okay. And they're wondering why the people running around there make it like the Holy Ghost is there, making like it, jumping around and going on. Ain't nothing even going on. You understand me? We have it. The Father approved, don't need no help. The Father approved will show up and do what he want to do by himself. The Father approved will have somebody laid out and nobody touched them. The Father approved will bring that word so that people will start speaking in tongues while the word is going forth. This is the Father approved that Jesus wants back in the church. This is what he wants people to start understanding. Men don't have to put their hands on nothing unless God wants to use them for that purpose. Need that Father approved. You got to know within your soul, down in your spirit, what you carry. You understand? Quit letting the things of life take what you carry in Jesus' name. So he placed so much confidence in them by showing himself over in 1 Corinthians 15. No more doubting. Do you know who you are? No more doubting. Do you know who you are in the kingdom? No more doubting. Are you ready to make a decision what you really want to do? No more doubting. He placed in them so much confidence that they could not be shaken or moved in the midst of adversity. This is where I want to stop 1 minute. A lot of people are being moved in the midst of adversity. Soon as things don't go their way, they are, peace out, I'm out. Soon as you're not feeling like God ain't using you like you want to be used, peace out. You know, or feel like the church ain't going like I want to go. Peace out. You see, come on now. You move in the midst of adversity the wrong way because you're not pulling on any Father proof that's down in you. Because that Father proof will make you think different. That Father proof will make you look at things different. That infallible proof will cause you to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But he'll make you think different. That infallible proof. You understand? You won't be shaken and moved in the midst of adversity. Because if I had been shaken and moved in the midst of adversity, I couldn't stand here or sit here right now. He knew what they were going to need against the heresy and the lies that were going to come against his redemptive work. And he knew that the first group would be sound and carry his word, not ashamed to be called by his name. Some people, they be so busy doing their thing that they be trying to do Jesus, but then they want to do so many other things, and then they be ashamed, say, oh, you was over in that church. I don't really go there. I just go visit sometime. You see, too ashamed to be saying that I'm a Christian. Because people look at your life or your life is in a Christian life is in the way of your secular life. Too ashamed. How do you think that these apostles and different ones, not only apostles, because he said he showed himself over here in 1 Corinthians 15 to over 500 as well. How do you think even some of them, when the persecution hit the church, even some of them had to give up their life and they would not take down because you know why? They had infallible proof. I can lay down my life if I see him for myself. You see, when you see something for yourself, you're like, I've seen this for myself. Nobody told me this. I've seen it for myself. And many of those, of that 500, there was some of those that got persecuted. And they were able to stand firm because of what they saw and what they knew. Isn't that something? God is just awesome. How do you think they could stand and refute the magistrates under pain of prison and death? It was the infallible truth. Again, was infallible proof. A certain, fail-safe, surefire, unfailing, unerring. Unerring means that it's so embedded into your mind, it's sketched into your mind so that no matter what come and go, it's just there. You can't shake it. And when we give our life to Jesus Christ, just like those apostles and those disciples did, what they saw that day, that 500 that day, specifically, but other people saw him as well. But what they saw, they knew, was the resurrection. Listen, the word of God said, he ate. They were able to touch him, and he ate. They touched him, I'm resurrected. I'm back, Jesus was telling them. You see, I feel the same way I felt before I died. But now it's just a little bit different. I got a resurrected body, but it's a full body. That's the same way I'm going to go to the one. Now, I love that. If you go over to 1 Thessalonians 4, when he's talking about he's going to rapture us, and bring our bodies back together. We're going to have that same. We're going to be like that flesh like him. We're going to have bones like him. I'm telling you, that's another whole teaching. I mean, we got to understand he is the resurrection and he is the life. You understand? You see, infallible proof is an unfailing memory of Jesus. Seeing the nail prints in his hands and feet. Seeing him walking through, this is what they were seeing. They were seeing him walk through walls defying nature. Seeing him eat food as a human in a flesh body, but yet all spirit. He had it where they could not be misled or deceived or disappointed in who they trust. You see, they were incapable of erring, understand? In the New Testament, the concept of the first fruits is used many times. Paul refers to the resurrection of Christ itself as the first fruits of the coming resurrection. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. In Romans 8, he speaks of Christians having the first fruits of the spirits. That's Romans 8:23. And thus joining us with creation and groaning for the fullness of the body coming to in redemption. John 1:18 identified those who had this new experience birth as a kind of a first fruit of God's creators. So Pentecost took place 50 days after the Passover. And while he was leaving, going back to the Father, he commanded them. Now we're going to go over and read over in Acts 1. And he said, O former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen. This is Acts 1. To whom he shewed himself alive. Here we go again. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of their Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father had put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come unto you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now you stay in the Acts, I'm coming back again, okay? You see, what the verse say, 3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Being seen. And then the fifth person says, but you shall receive power, baptized, and you shall receive power. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And the eighth verse says, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And this is where I want to go today about receiving that power. You see. So a few days later, now we're going over to Acts 2. A few down the road, he said, Terry, told him to stay there. Go to Jerusalem and stay there and wait. Just wait, okay? And over here in Acts 2, it said, and when, Acts 2 and 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one account in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were all sitting. Come on, Jesus. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm going to go over it to down from the fourth verse. I'm going to go over to the 11th verse. We do hear them speak, as he told all the people that, you know, talking about all the people there, all the nations that was there. In the 11th verse, said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocked them, saying, men are full of new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word, for those are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the day of Pentecost had come. You see. So Peter stood up and said, we are not drunk. We are receiving the infallible proof. That's what I did all that to get to that point, right? We are not drunk. We are experiencing the infallible proof. And what that infallible proof they experience this day? Because Jesus told me, told Peter, if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. And when the Comforter comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And not only that, now I'm going to live down in you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you alone. I am now going to live down in you. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, the spirit of redemption is coming to you. Jesus' spirit is now occupying a space that always needs to be filled. This is what the disciples were experiencing all the time they walked with Jesus, and even those he showed himself to. But why did he tell them, go wait until I pour out unto you? And I'm saying this now because I'm making a point, because sometimes people say, once you get saved, once you get asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and confess your sins, that's it. But I want to tell you today, that is not it. It's more. Because a lot of people have went through life and never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because somebody told them that that was all that you need. You repented, right? Yes, I did. You accept Jesus Christ? Yes, I did. Okay, well, you're all right then. You understand? But see, he got more. Let's read on. But why did he tell them to go wait till I pour out on you? Think about it. It was the Comforter, the third person of the Deity, that now must live in the earth through his people. See, the Holy Spirit is not in heaven. The third, the Comforter, is on earth. Jesus and God is in heaven, and the Comforter is on earth in his people. Isn't that something? This is why we need the evidence, infallible proof of the unknown tongue. It is the speech of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. That he, the Comforter, is in the earth. That he, Jesus, is still in the earth. That he, Jesus, our redemption, has completed his assignment in the earth and has now left infallible proof who he is down in us and those that's going to come after us. The infallible proof by speaking in an unknown tongue has access to the throne of God. Let's talk about that. Let's go to Acts 19 really quickly here. Let me see. Let's go to Acts 19 and read what it says over here. Okay, now here we got the story about, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through upper coast of Ephesus, finds certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so as much have heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John baptism. Then said Paul, John really baptized with the baptism of repentance. Come on now, you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, saying unto the people that they should believe in him on whom came after him. That is on Jesus Christ. But when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. You see, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the sixth verse, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Do you understand now? Because you have to give people scripture to understand this here. A lot of people, they feel that once they receive, say, Jesus Christ come into my life, and they don't receive the Holy Ghost at their moment. Some people receive it right then, and some people don't. They go through months and times, and they don't receive it because, number one, sometimes people don't believe it, or somebody don't told them that it wasn't necessary. You okay? And I'm not saying that you're not. I'm not saying you don't go to hell. I'm just saying that he wanted to give you him, all of him. You see. Okay, Acts 10. Now we're going to talk about going to Acts 10 over in let me make sure I'm in the right one now. I got all these scriptures. Acts 10, let's see. I think this is about, I want to give you some basic scripture so when people be asking you what you're talking about, you have something to say to them. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion by the band called the Italian Band, a devoted man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much praying and alms to God and prayed. Now, this man had given his heart to Jesus Christ, right? He saw in a vision eventually in the ninth hour of the day, and an angel came into him saying, Cornelius. And when he looked, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms have come up. No doubt Cornelius was praying for more. He wanted to know more about this Jesus. He wanted to know more about the stuff that he was happening. And God said, your alms, your prayers, your giving, whatever you were doing to get my attention to come to you, have come up before me. Okay. And when he looked, he was afraid. And he said, thy prayers and thy alms have come up for a memorial. Then he told me, say, now you need to go send for Peter. Now I'm not going to do this whole chapter 10 because it's a lot. But let me go what happened. Y'all all know what happened. That while Cornelius, the angel was visiting Cornelius here, Peter was on a housetop hungry, but he was praying and went into a trance. And that's when Jesus let down his sheet, let him know that, no, the salvation is not just for the Jews. I'm opening it up to all mankind, you see. And he showed Peter that. He said, when somebody come and get you, you go with them. I have sent for you. And now we over here into the 34th verse. You can read it yourself because it's a lot. Acts 10. Let's read Acts 10. Now, the Gentile, they need to hear the good news. Then they follow the proof. And so at Cornelius' house, then Peter opened his mouth in the 34th verse. Now, they haven't been there. Cornelius don't welcome him. They don't share what happened to them. And over here in the 34th verse, it said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God has sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee unto the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were opposed of the devil, for God was with him. And he let him know, we are that witness. Over and he said, now we're going to go down to the 42nd verse. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that throughout his name, through his name, whosoever believe on him shall receive remission of sins. And it said, 41st, while Peter was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. That's what that point I want to get to. And they of the circumcised which believed that came with him, you see, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, Ghost. And for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I'm reading this to you because I want you to understand that some people believe that it's not for them, or just for a certain, you know, the Pentecostals, they speak in tongues. The Baptists don't. Oh, come on, the devil is a liar. This is for anybody. If you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, he wanted to now give you the infallible proof. He wants to live down in you. And the evidence is that when you receive, after you receive him and ask him to come into your life, and save you, for you, but, you know, at first you may not save me with the Holy Spirit, you may not know, but Lord, to save me, I repent of my sins. You know, you want to know you're saved. Now I'm going to give you my testimony. First of all, I want to give you a testimony of a young man that was at the church one time. And I was teaching the book of Acts for a whole, like 6 weeks. And I had got through a certain part of the books of Acts, and I was just teaching about receiving. I think it might have been on one of these scriptures I just read to you. And I would let them know that how they can receive. And all of a sudden, he brought that, I want to receive it now. I stopped what I was doing and walked over to him. I said, open your mouth and receive it. And it wasn't even 2 or 3 minutes. He just started speaking and speaking and speaking because his heart was just so ready. He just spoke and spoke and spoke that he could not stop. And I went up to the pulpit and kept on preaching. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Because he had been saved all that time. But he had never felt the indwelling down in him that came back up out of him like wells of living water. This is the infallible proof that Jesus is living down. Not that he don't, when you get saved, he's there. But see, it's that infallible proof when he said the evidence the evidence of speaking in tongues. You understand? Don't nobody tell you that's not. I got the Holy Ghost. Okay, do you speak in tongues? They get offended. That's the spirit of the devil that make you offended when you ask, have you spoken in tongues? Well, no, I don't know. Oh, yes, you do. If you say that you have the Holy Ghost down in you, not saved. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean that you have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. It's the evidence that he has indwelled in you and come up out of you like wells of water, like Joel said in 2:28. It changes. Understand? Let me give you my testimony. When I first got saved, and I was saved almost like maybe like 12, 13 months. And I love the Lord. You see, I want to help somebody today. Because sometimes people say, well, if you got the Holy Ghost, you now say the devil is a liar. That is a life and gates of hell. Because people have given their heart to Jesus Christ. And they love him. But they have not came to the knowledge of receiving the Holy Ghost coming up out of them like wells of water, speaking in unknown tongues. And I was saved, and I had not come. I mean, I know I was saved because I changed. I was staying shacking up with my children's father, and we had to go. We had to get married, something, whatever. No, but I didn't know no more sex and stuff up in here. Okay, no. I knew I had changed. I didn't want to go to places I wanted to go. My mind started changing. I started reading the word of God. I started thinking God. I started praying. I know I was changed. I know God was doing. Anytime you touch Jesus or Jesus touch you, you're going to change. Something in you are going to change. You're not going to remain the same. You understand? And I know I'm going to show you. I know I'm not the only one talking like this. Because a lot of people have gotten saved and they never really received the Holy Spirit. In my life, God has blessed me to be a person. They have birthed many through to receive the Holy Spirit. And when I went to a church one night, a little church, and I remember hearing the word of God. And it might have been in the scripture, have you received the Holy Ghost? I'm feeling like, what Holy Ghost? Because, you know, I didn't know that it was something else. I didn't know that it was more. And he said, have you received? And after that, I heard that message that night. I just couldn't rest. I wanted to know what he was talking about. And so one day I went to a church. It was a smaller church in the neighborhood. And I went there one night, about five or six people were there, and the service was wonderful. And I went the first night, and he asked anybody wanted to come. I didn't go. But I said, you know what? Let me back up. Before that happened, after I went to the first church, and they was talking about it, I went home, and I tried to do it on my own. And I didn't know some people can. I'm listening. This is talking about my battle, okay? This is my testimony. And I went home, and I couldn't receive it. I was going to the toilet and I was praying. In my prayer room, I would just be praying and I wasn't trying to thank you, whatever, you know, the kid, and nothing would happen. It was because of the warfare that I understood now. It was because I really didn't know totally. You see, I didn't know how totally to empty myself out. I didn't have nobody helping me there. Now, here's what I'm saying now again. Sometimes people can just be praying and worshiping God, and it is a fall on them. It's however you choose to do it. I'm telling you my testimony for those that have struggled with it. This is this testimony for you. And then one day I got up and I went to this church. Then I back up. And I went to this church one night for a service for Bible study. And then I had my children with me. So I said, I'm going to come back Friday. And that whole Friday, I said, I'm not leaving out of here. When he asked for anybody want prayer of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to leave up out of here tonight until I have, and I meant that. That whole day I ate nothing. And I had my three children with me. And I said, I'm not eating nothing. I'm not coming home without it. I meant it. I am not coming home without it. And that pastor, he was, they were so patient. But this was the thing. So when I got there and he asked anybody to come, I said, I want the Holy Ghost. And my kids were on the bench, and there were like five or six people around. And then I'll tell them, I'm doing it for me. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody. And all kind of stuff was going on. Listen, you don't need all that. Hear me, I'm going to mess up somebody's theology. You don't need all of that, because all that did was mess me up. All me hearing, one person is in his ear, and one person was in his ear, and all kinds of stuff was going on. But when people got tired of trying to help me, it got quiet. My kids, I went to sleep, and with the pastor and his wife, left. Now, who are you talking about? Now, we're talking about 12 midnight. I wasn't going home without it. And the pastor knew I was persistent. He said, I know you want it. And when everybody left, all that other noise, I heard the sweet voice of his wife is talking to me. And I just opened up. It wasn't even 5 minutes. And I just opened up and started flowing and flowing and flowing. I went home just speaking. And I remember I had a neighbor in front of me. She went to this Baptist church. And she was saying her pastor taught them they didn't have to do all that. But I knocked on her door at 1:31. I got it. I didn't care. I got it. And I went to her house the next day and gave her my testimony. You see, it is real. And I wanted to tell that testimony because some people feel that they people have told people, if you have not speaking in tongue that you're not saved, you tell them, yes, I am. And I am going to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you, I don't know what to do and how to do it, the Lord have blessed me through the year and as I worked in at the altar to be able to, after my experience, he let me have that experience so I can help others, how they don't need all this noise and stuff. And I would work with different pastors in different churches. They knew that God has given me a way to do with people that they can come through so much easier. You understand? And one pastor said, God's a gift. I said, no, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I said, no. It's just that you don't know how I felt. And that all you got to do is coach a person and let them know how much Jesus loved them. And tell them, I said, listen, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to sweat for you. I have the Holy Ghost. Now you just have to reach up and believe it. And I tell them, I said, just get everything out of your mind. See Jesus Christ on the cross and repent of your sins and then start receiving it. It's a gift. You don't have to fight for it. You ain't got to beg for it. You're talking, oh, please, Jesus, give it to me. It's a gift. But you are saying, Jesus Christ, come into my life and save me. It's a gift. And he would have poured into you. Those are my two testimonies today. If you want to know scriptures about this, the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying served not for them that believe not, but to them that believe. You see? And I like how Amplified says it like this. Therefore, unknown tongues are meant for supernatural sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers, who might be receptive. While prophesying for telling the future speaks of a new message from God to the people, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So I'm asking you today, are you receptive for this infallible proof? This is infallible proof that Jesus, Holy Spirit, is living down in you. And when somebody tell you it ain't real, say, oh, yes, it is. I feel it when I go into prayer. I can feel his anointing upon me when I go into prayer. And not only that, when I don't know what to pray, he takes over and he prays for me. Oh, yeah, this is infallible proof. You understand? 1 Corinthians says, so my brothers, speak earnestly, desiring to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. It's in the word. Why are you people out there telling people they don't need to speak in tongues? The devil is a liar. Read 1 Corinthians 4:39. And Romans 8:26. I love this one. It says, and likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what we shall pray. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues out of us in prayer. Come on. Intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever been going through some time and all you can do is lay there and just speak in tongues? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. We be going through so much and we be so heavy and we be weeping. God, I don't know what to say. I don't get me speaking in tongues the whole time you in your prayer closet. It's better than speaking in any because God, Jesus is praying for you. That Holy Spirit, that comfort, Jesus' Spirit now in you is praying for you. The comforter, our high priest intercessor is praying for you. And he'll pray things that you know not. He'll go places that you would not dare to go. He'll say things that you would not dare to say. He'll bring down things that you can't bring down in the spiritual realm. Excuse me 1 minute, please. Oh, my God. So I enjoy being able to use this heavenly language that God has given me. There are more than 30 scriptures that deal with unknown tongues. Go look them up. So when people try to tell you it's not true, ask them, do you believe the infallible proof of the Bible? And they say yes. Okay, these are the scriptures. I'm not going to give them all to you. I just gave you a couple right here. But tell them it's an infallible proof that he wants us to have this. He didn't die for nothing. He didn't come back 40 days and show himself for nothing. He wants us to have infallible proof who he is, because he know the warfare is going to come against his people in the earth. We got to have proof that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is our Redeemer and he's the one that's going to fight for us. We got to know by having an infallible proof that he got angel on assignment to take care of us. We have to know through infallible proof that this wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against witnesses in high places. And we can't fight this thing alone, but the Holy Spirit that's down in us will rise up, and he will pray, and he will intercede, and he will call help, give us the power and the authority to decree and declare. You know, that infallible proof can cause you to go places no man can go. In Jesus' name, you see, being filled with the Holy Spirit means this, and I'm about done. Being filled means to occupy the whole of. When you receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, it feels like everything in you. You went through like your hand, your feet, your arm, everything. He just went through everywhere. I remember one time when I looked at my hands were glowing. My hands looked new, okay? So now you may look at your feet, might see glowing your feet, all kind of stuff, because he just go and occupy every cell in you. Do you understand? It means, being filled means to spread throughout, to make full, to put in so much as can be held or contained at that time. And so when he filled you up to the brim to what you can contain. You understand? But the problem is that a lot of people, they get that and they don't come back. You see? We are containers, you understand? And things pour out. We got to come back and keep on being refilled, being replenished in the Holy Spirit. It means to put in as much as can be held. That is why we continue to be refilled and refreshed after the initial refilling. Receive means to come into possession of, to acquire the fullness of his Spirit. The day he fills us with the evidence, speaking in tongues, it fills our whole being. But we need to stay connected to his water line. So not come up, are you like wells of water? We need to stay connected to that water line. You see? We need to stay connected. You do not get filled one time and walk away. How do you know this has happened to you? When was the last time you spoke in your heavenly language? You see? When you getting filled constantly, it'll come up out of you like, you can just be, start worshiping around the house, the tongues will come. You can be dealing with something and all of a sudden you end up a shit in the devotion. You don't make it up. It just happened. It's just in you. It's just part of you now. You don't feel yourself. It comes to be a part of you. The gift is an ongoing flow. You speak it in worship. You speak it in prayer. You can speak it while you're ministering. It can't be brought and you can't be sold like Simon tried to buy it. You can't be buy it. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't sell it. It's a gift that Jesus gives those that accepts him as their personal savior. And he wants us to act as receptacles, containers. Jesus wants us to be his containers of what he has done, to fill us with infallible proof for his Holy Spirit to flow, move, and activate at his will. He wants us to permit the comforter to come in. You have to admit him in. If you don't want to speak in tongues, don't. I don't want to. You know, if you don't want the Holy Spirit, you don't got to have it. That's your desire. But if you know that it's there for you, you understand? You must allow him in. If people are telling you that it's not necessary, why don't you try it for yourself? Everybody around here speaking ain't wrong. We ain't a bunch of crazy lunatics. We got infallible proof going on down in us. We got something going on down in us that can keep us. They keep our mind from this crazy stuff that's going on. So when that fellow proof, when you're going through hard places, that infallible proof keeps you. You hear me? When you're going, you have to go into your prayer closet, you be just so down. You be so overwhelmed. You just be just going through so much. And you go into your time with God and start worshiping, praying him. And all of a sudden you come, you be so light. You have so much, you have hope. You feel like you feel so enlightened because he keeps filling you. He just keep on filling you. But we must allow him. If you believe Jesus died and he rose again, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, now receive his fullness with the evidence, the infallible proof that he lives in this earth. And why is it so much needed? The Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is this power? It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is that power that makes and secure you in the midst of all things and lead and guide us in all truth. It stirs us up like wells of living water. It activates the gifts in us. It connects us with heaven purpose. And it heightens the flow of the anointing in our life. It will give you power to act right when you want to do wrong. It takes the sting out of your mouth, the sting of sin out of your mouth and out of your soul and out of your spirit. It searches the inward parts to reveal all matters. You see, it gives you power to move in dimensions that the flesh will never understand. Jesus said, "Our Father be lifted up, I will draw all men. And I will make those that come to me fishers of men. I will pour out wisdom. I will give you unbreakable courage to do exploits." So I want to encourage you this day. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw." This is not how he wants us. He wants us to draw. You see? Through the infallible proofs that he has left in this earth. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit." Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, upon means have come in contact or inside of you. So you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost have come in contact with you and came in you. Understand? Daddy wants some containers that is marked by his name. Daddy wants some torches that know how to become eternal flames through him. You see, when you finish, you are infused with this oil, it will not be quenched. Only you can quench the fire by putting stuff on top of it and smothering it. And those things that you put on top of the Holy Spirit, of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost down in you, that you can't speak in tongues, that you can't worship like you want to, is life. It's letting the end of the things of life, letting the enemy put things on you where you cannot express yourself like you should in the Holy Spirit. You got to know. And that's my word for you today. Understand? Jesus. Then now I want you ever to forget it. He's that only proof you need that he's alive in this earth. Have God in you. You see? If he's down in you, guess what? You're going to show some sign. Understand? And now I'm telling you that after I received the Holy Spirit, after he came in my life, I understood what it meant. Power as the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Because after I received the Holy Ghost, I was doing okay. I was going through and doing okay. The devil was trying to fight me. You know? But after I received the Holy Spirit, hold up, get up the ante. So, you see, because the enemy knows now that you got him down in there. And the proof is down in there. And not again, really shake you that much right now. I know people have gotten the Holy Ghost and back there. Yeah. But you come back. If God will allow you to come back. If you just ask God, I want to come back. You know, he'll let you come back. Because once you taste of the goodness of Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same. Some people are going on, get back. But I'm telling you something. Once you taste of the goodness of Jesus, you'll never be the same. Even though on his side, you may have to wait a little longer and have to do a thing that you don't want to do sometimes. But once you taste of the goodness of Jesus, you will never be the same anymore. Things will never. You go, if you go back, you won't go back, right? You won't be like it was before because you don't taste of the goodness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, saying for you today, encourage people to stretch out and go for that infallible proof. If they have the infallible proof, don't let it go. Because God wants to use you. But you got to know what you know, what you know. And you got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And quit playing these mind games. I'm here and I'm not here. I'm there and I'm not there. Maybe I will and maybe I won't. Know who you are in Christ. And let those well of waters go out of you and be a refreshing to someone else in Jesus' name. God bless you today and thank you for spending this time with us today. And don't forget, I gave you scriptures. I put some if you go back and you look at the scriptures, some of the scriptures are there that I put there somewhere, but maybe three or four of them are there that you can go back and look. If you'd like to give a donation to us, I would sure appreciate it so much. You can give a donation to Apostle Mania's Cash App $ capital A P O S M J. That's capital A P O S capital M capital J. And our Zelle is apostlemamie@aol.com. That's our email. And if you would like prayer, I want to send a prayer request. You can send it to apostlemamie@aol.com. That's apostlemamie@aol.com. Or you can leave a prayer request on our prayer line at 602-731-7330. And we thank you so much for being with us today. And we meet with you again on this Wednesday as we talk about undertaking the power of darkness. God bless you and you have a blessed day.